Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of the Apple Tech Facts. I am your host, Josh Line, and joined as always with me, my brilliant co-host, Mr. Seth Cruz. How you doing today, sir?
Doing well. All rested up.
All rested up? Yep. That's good, because we got some things to cover today, which is going to include, but not limited to, the Apple event that was held on September 12th, 15th, something like that.
12th. I believe so.
Yep, on Tuesday, yep. So that's what you guys can expect. We'll talk all about the Apple Watch and the new iPhone 15 lineup and maybe go over what we're going to get versus what we're not going to get.
Absolutely.
Getting right into it. All right. So as you guys probably already seen commercials for it out there, but the Apple is now releasing on this next Friday. We're recording this on Sunday. The new Apple Watch Series 9 and Watch.
September 22nd.
The 22nd, yep. And we're recording this on the 16th or 17th, I think. So, whatever that Sunday is. But anyways, Seth, are you getting anything?
Yes. One thing.
One thing.
Yes. And this is interesting because they mentioned it a little bit, but not very much. The updated AirPod Pro second generation, but the one with the USB-C charger. And it actually, okay, it looks identical. It still says second gen iPod or AirPod Pros, but this version does lossless audio.
Yes.
And there's definitely some things where using it in conjunction with, say, the Apple Vision or something, but also Apple Music, where lossless is available. I don't know what they changed. Supposedly nothing, but, you know, something changed.
Something had to have changed, right?
But I like, okay, in my car, I have a USB-C charger. And I have a lightning charge cable.
Right.
And I would really like to just be able to charge my devices using the USB-C. It's faster. It's faster. Definitely faster.
Right.
So for that reason, for the charging reasons, also for the lossless audio, I'm upgrading, looking forward to those features. I'm upgrading because my AirPod Pros that I have now, second gen, I'm pretty hard on them, and it's been over a year, so it's time to replace them as part of my Uber business. I keep one in my ear,
sure.
And I also use them sometimes when I sleep if somebody's snoring too loudly. So anyway,
maybe I should point that one out to my wife.
Yeah, and use it for the noise cancellation. I will tell you, you know. It's great having a microphone and letting people sing in your car. It's also really nice to have noise canceling headphones.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now I only put one in so I can still hear right
around me.
But you know, there are times when somebody in my left ear or my right ear is
belting it out extra
louder. It's nice to mute it even just partially.
Right.
So anyway. I'm very tempted, I will say, because I have a 12 mini, the iPhone, the 15 Pro Max.
Pro Max.
Is tempting to me, as is the Pro, but because of the fact that they did something interesting that they've never done before, which is they actually talk about the chip with a Pro moniker underneath it. Which they've never done before.
That is a first, yep.
So the combination of the faster processor, better GPU, better, you know, the whole thing with the logic cores, all of those things are great. But everybody's saying that the titanium shell, outer shell, the frame, makes this the lightest Pro Max phone that they've ever made.
Yeah.
And I know that you're envious sometimes of how light my 12 mini is compared to your what is it, 14 or 13 Pro Max,
right,
or whatever. So anyway, the camera is great, but I don't know that I would be one to take advantage of all the features.
Right.
I definitely think in a pro, like if you're doing recording of like your kid's sports, or like for you recording this,
yep.
Like there are going to be very specific things where it's good to have the USB-C with the added USB controller. Spend $30 on the stupid cable so that it's faster to download. You'll really notice a difference when you're transferring
which
data.
Is crucial,
right?
Because it takes
it's slow right now, right?
There
so I think there are reasons to consider upgrading, but for now anyway, the only thing that I'm really interested in are the AirPods.
Sure.
If you've already got a recent watch, the Ultra 2, honestly, I think the gesture thing is interesting, but that's on the regular 2.
Yeah.
But I just think there's not enough there.
There's not
right
enough
now. I will say, I know we don't like to talk about rumors, but there is somebody that was on the Apple Silicon leadership team that moved over to help the group working on the blood glucose monitor for the phone, or for the watch, And I will tell you, they've probably been working on this since 2012.
At least.
And if they crack the non-invasive, you don't have to stick me to figure out what my blood glucose is, I really think that's the holy grail of wearables.
Yeah.
There's a whole community out there that has to wear some kind of device that does stick them, that does link with the phone. And so I think that that'll be great.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
As far as a watch goes, if you're like when I had the 3 and then I upgraded to the Ultra, like if you're going to upgrade to the Ultra 2, it's really got some great features, but I wouldn't say upgrading from last year's model
I'm not even sure that it'd be worth it to, you know, go from the Watch 8 to the Ultra Watch 2.
I don't think
I don't think so either. Now,
if you were upgrading from like a 4 or a 3.
From a 3 or a 4 or 5.
Totally.
It would definitely, be worth it. I'm not going to be getting the watch.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I need it. Now, I still have my trusty Apple Watch SE2, and it's perfect for me. And for
wearing it right now.
Got it right now. So,
yep.
And that was also a couple of things I feel kind of shamed a little bit as kind of what they opened up the event with shortly after the Mac updates.
Okay.
Was their whole an update on the whole entire environment on what they have done recently or lately. And that includes, and this, we're not going to go into the whole spiel about how do you
but they improved the environment by sticking to and maybe beating their goals, right?
Yeah,
2030.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the update was all about. Yep. And they're going away with leather, so no more leather watch bands, like the one I have on, and no more leather for like your MagSafe wallets, which is
I have a leather MagSafe case.
Yep, no more of that.
No more of that.
Yep.
But I really hope, here's the thing, I got barbecue sauce on my watch band. I could wash it, scrub it, and I mean you can't even tell, right? With the new faux leather or whatever they're calling this,
it's like the modern
something woven, I don't know. Anyway, they had some new name for a new fabric. Anytime anybody comes out with a new fabric, whether that's rayon or thinsulate or whatever, right? Whenever there's some synthetic new material that comes out that they're claiming will be fantastic for some kind of thing, the durability, how long does it last, what are the characteristics of it under wear, different temperatures, and in unforeseen patterns of usage, by a particular group of people, right? Whether it's somebody that works out a lot or somebody that is an adventure traveler, right?
Yeah.
They're going to find that there's maybe the color fastness. Maybe you get it wet and then you take your watch band off and your wrist is blue. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So the color fastness and some of the things that they think they've got down, they'll find out. So I'm not against buying that, and I think it definitely is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I'm skeptical that they're going to get it right on the first try.
Yeah, it's going to take some time, you know, for them to do it. But again, it's Apple, and they don't really do things a lot of the time unless they
part
do it
way.
Right.
You know, they don't do it part halfway. Way.
So that to keep it clean, I guess we will say. So we don't. This is a child friendly, not really child for adults thing, but we don't really swear on here, so you don't have to worry about that. So I would, you know, maybe next year. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she has the Series 3.
Okay.
She never wears it, ever, hardly.
Okay.
It's like we don't go out the same way that we used to.
Sure,
so there's
sure.
no really any purpose for, you know, for her to wear it, but, you know, she'll wear it if, like, we're going on a trip.
Absolutely.
You know, she'll take it with her. So, but she was all about, like, and she doesn't really get into the tech stuff. But she, on the watch, they got a new gesture where you can just pinch your fingers twice, or the double tap or double pinch, whatever, and it, you can control the watch, like, whatever function from the crown,
right.
anything you would use for the crown, that's where that goes to. And
whatever button
same.
Is the primary button, if it's snoozing an alarm, if it's hanging up, if it's anything, it'll control that as well.
That, it'll map to that functionality, as you know, Seth stated. And it's also in, if you haven't figured this part out already, is that this is also the same way that you are pinching and you're zooming and you're scrolling on the Vision Pro. So it's the same technology in that S9 chip that comes in the watch.
Right. The reason that, and I'm just going to say that a woman may prefer to get,
I know where you're going,
the newer watches, with the S9 chip,
mm-hmm.
is specifically because it doesn't send any data to the cloud, which would include cycle tracking.
Oh yes.
So
it's all on device, so it's going to be a lot more quicker response.
And you know, there are government entities that are having some success in requesting from different places information that there's questions about whether they should be able to or not. But the point is, even in Nebraska, there's data that's been turned over to, you know, about medical things and so forth that could put people in trouble. So not having that data available, it makes it a lot more difficult, because they still have to have a subpoena to ask you for your watch. And quite honestly, if the watch isn't recording, isn't keeping a log of those activities, then it's a lot harder for that information to even be collected later.
Exactly.
So I'm just saying, from a privacy perspective, I think that anybody who's concerned about it, that might be a reason to upgrade the watch.
Yep.
But in particular for cycle tracking and different things, there may be even more of a demand on it to keep that private.
Yep, right? Absolutely. And that's going to be at the forefront of Apple's mission at all costs, whenever and every day of the
sure.
of the week.
Absolutely.
Maybe next year for me, maybe I'll surprise my wife with the pink one.
There you go.
At some point, but I don't know. We'll see.
My wife did say, hey, I saw the new phone comes in pink.
Yes, the new iPhone 15, moving on into the iPhone 15. It does come in pink. And midnight, starlight, green, yellow, blue, and orange.
Orange, yep.
Yep, it was the new kind of flavor there, I guess you'd call it. So they all get, this is the part that kind of surprised me, was that Apple upgraded the cameras to 48 megapixel, which I think it should have been done maybe a couple years ago, but the fact that they just put the 48 megapixels on the 14 Pro lineup last year they're bringing a lot of, you know, they're bringing a lot of value just with that one move, as well as adding the dynamic island with.
So everybody will get the dynamic island. Everybody's going to get the nicer
camera
now.
Yep. Those are kind of the two main things that I would say that to call out besides, you know, the color features. It's still 6.1 inches, and then you also have your 15 Plus at 6.7.
There's just an even better camera only available on the 15 Pro Max. Yep,
that telephoto lens and the periscope lens. I forgot what they called it, but that's on the 15 Pro Max.
Optical zoom, basically.
It's a lot. I don't know why you would want to zoom in that far, but except if you're looking at
macro,
the stars.
Macro zooming.
Macro, right. Yep, there you go.
My uncle takes pictures of bees and flowers and things.
That's a perfect example. And uses
macro,
that,
so. Macro on a very expensive camera.
Sure.
This is just a way for people to do it. Yes, it doesn't replace the $5,000 Nikon camera.
Naturally.
But if you're just getting into it,
yeah, it's the perfect solution.
It's really pretty amazing.
Yep, and the price is starting at $799 for that lineup, I believe. And I don't think that was a price increase from last year.
It wasn't. And actually, that was a rumor that the at least the Pro models were going to be more expensive this year.
Yep.
And maybe the Pro Max with the fancy camera saw an extra $100.
Yep.
But nothing else did.
Yeah, just the Pro Max was the only one in the lineup that got the price increase, and it was like the span of, like you said, like $100, I think. I'm not getting the 15 Pro Max, but I do think that I am going to get the 15 Pro. I have been complaining to my coworkers at work a lot lately about how heavy the 13 Pro is. And then again to you before before we even came in and started recording, I made a comment about it because I had your 12 mini in my hand.
12 mini, yep.
And so I was like, lighter. Oh my goodness, this is a big difference. And it'd be so much lighter having in my pocket. So, and it does come in titanium. That's what makes it lighter, that titanium casing.
Yeah, the Pro titanium. I will say that if I end up getting a Pro 15 Pro, I will get the natural titanium. I will not get the color.
That is the most popular choice, and it is baffling to me that it's not going to be my choice. Yeah. I want that blue. I kind of like that navy
blue. I think the colored ones, you'll have to share this with us. Yeah. I think the colored ones are going to show scratches
a lot more.
Although I will say, this thing being a year old, almost, and it looks brand new. There's no, and I mean, I've banged it against things that it should have scratched it, but because of the sapphire glass and because of the titanium, not even a nick or a scratch.
That's crazy.
Nothing. So, you may find that putting it in your pocket with your keys and things like that, that's absolutely fine.
That definitely is the one factor that kind of screwed my iPhone 13 Pro up, was because I had put it in my pocket, and so the screen is scratched up. You can't really tell, and you know, but it is, it's there, and I can notice it, you know. But granted, I'm the only one looking at it normally. So that one does come in matte black, a dark blue, like navy color, and starlight, and then that midnight color, which is black. The Pro Max model, I will say, and you get, this is where the value comes from on the Pro Max, is that it does start with 256 gigs of storage versus the 128 that is on the rest of the iPhone 15 lineup. So there's even the 15 Pro comes with 128 gigs, but the Pro Max comes up with 256 gigs as that base model. So you're getting that upgraded camera zoom, and then you're also getting that extra storage too, which is actually the difference in price. If you were to upgrade from 128 gig to 256 gigs, it is $100.
Sure.
So really, I think that's what you're paying for, and you're really getting the camera. So
there are two things. If we talk about a 15 Max versus a 15 Pro Max, or a 15 versus the 15 Pro, the Pro versions of the phones, they've replaced the mute switch
with an
action button.
Yep.
And I will tell you,
it's all move too.
The action button on this watch is equally as programmable.
Yes.
And I didn't think I was going to really find a use for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite things about this watch. So I'm really interested to see what people do with that button, being that it's programmable as an action button.
Yep.
And then the other thing isn't really something built to, different between the Pro and the non-Pro version, but that they've expanded the maximum amount that you can back up to the cloud now to be 6 and 12 gig, which...
That's a ton.
It's... Oh, sorry. Terabytes.
Terabytes.
Not gigs.
Not gigs, yeah. Terabytes.
Terabytes. Yeah. And I will tell you that... You know, I think today I have the 2 terabyte version, and I'm sharing it across my entire family, and we still can't max it out.
Yeah, that's it. That is expensive. That was one of those things that they brought to attention. I thought they gave too much attention to it, to be honest with you. And it, I got to tell you, it is expensive. And if you are content creators like us, then that's not much at all. It's really not much storage, as we could shoot an hour-long episode and in 4K or even in 8K, and I guarantee you I throw that sucker into Final Cut Pro, and it's going to be about 120 gigs
Absolutely.
Of space. And that's just for one episode, which is half of the space on my M1 MacBook Air here.
Right.
So it's not a lot for content creators, but if you're just starting with maybe photography, and then... It might be perfect for you. Me personally, I do have the 200 gig family model with that I share with my family. Plus, I also pay for an additional 50 gigs on top of it for an additional like 99 cents.
I think the thing, though, the reason they've expanded it is because as these phones come with 256 gig as an option, if you had six people that shared a family plan and every single person on there had a backup, the potential would be that you could eat up more than two gigs of space.
That's fair.
If you're doing the video streaming for the cameras, and I have 4 cameras around the house, right? Yep. Video streaming to that same storage, and then anything else like the camera rolls and some of those things that can share to the iCloud. Anyway, you could, there is a way that you can get beyond 2 terabytes today.
Right. You could.
And I'm glad to see it as an option. I agree with you. When you start pushing past $10 a month beyond paying for the Apple One subscription, now you're starting to get into that territory of it's not an impulse buy anymore.
Right.
But bottom line is, you talked about 256 as the storage, and that's what just the beginning level of storage.
That for you the Pro
go,
Max.
You can go,
up to a terabyte. Two terabytes, I think.
2 terabytes?
I think it's 2 terabytes on the phone. Yeah.
And so, of course, they needed to expand it to 6 or 12.
Right.
So anyway, I'm glad that they finally done it. It's way too late. Or it should have happened much sooner.
Sure.
And the action button, I'm going to tell you, action button, faster processor built on the 3-nanometer chip, which nobody else is doing. So again, you're getting the cutting edge technology, the action button, the faster processor, and the lightness.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, people pick up those titanium phones and they go, wow, these are light. So look for those things. Try it out. Go to Best Buy. Go to your phone store.
Play around with it. Just don't be a tool about it. Don't be a tool about it, because they will take the devices off of the display desk that they have at, you know, like you were saying, at Best Buy. Be responsible. You know, don't, you know.
But if you go to Apple, if you go to Best Buy, different places, you're just try it out. You're going to be absolutely
messing around with it, flick it around, you know, that type of stuff. I am curious. I will tell you, Seth, that I am curious about how the action button is going to feel as well, as I actually do have that. It is an accessibility feature, which Apple is always, they always improve on it constantly, and I don't feel like they talk enough about it.
Okay.
But I have set up there is a third button on the 13
models. Yes, there is, on the back of it.
On the 12, where you can tap the back of it. You can set it up in your accessibility settings for like a double tap or a triple tap. Well, what I have found out recently is like I have my setup for a double tap to turn on my flashlight.
Okay.
And then I have a triple tap set up to turn on the camera.
Oh.
And so what I found a lot lately is, I don't know if it happens in my pocket.
You really want to suck down that battery, don't you?
I thought I would use both more and it would be more responsive than what it is. But what I am finding is that that double tap happens a lot.
It turns on when you don't realize it.
It turns on. And so I actually have people at the store that will say, hey, flashlight's on.
Yeah.
And I don't even realize it because it got, you know, double tapped in my pocket or accidentally on my hand. So I might be changing that tonight, after we get done recording.
I have the same features you do, but reversed. I have triple tap for the flashlight. And actually, double tap is a white noise generator.
Oh, see, interesting. So that's, you know, go and explore these features, guys, because they really do come in handy and they really are useful.
Things you didn't know your phone could do.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And that's really one of those things where you want to explore your phone and figure it out, mess around with the settings and stuff like that. That way you're getting the full value out of your phone. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was thinking about this the other day. And I think we can pretty much, you know, wrap it up after this, is that the accessibility features plus Siri shortcuts, if you can get those two things, get a good grasp of how those two things work and you're using them on a daily basis.
Turn into a power user.
You're turning into a power user and you really are getting the full value in these devices that are expensive. Mm-hmm. You know, the Pro model starts at, I'm going to call it what it is, $1,000. And granted, I'll say right now is all the carriers have all sorts of specials going on right now. There's always like a $1,200 off right now my carrier is offering. And I know other carriers out there, like Verizon, T-Mobile, they're all doing like $1,000 off, that type of thing. And then I think with those types of deals, like for myself, I will be getting, I think I'm going to go ahead and upgrade to the 15 Pro 256 gig storage. Mm-hmm. Now, I am very, very, very storage efficient, where I'm constantly clearing my storage out and moving it over to a external hard drive.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to head over to the pawn shop after we leave here and pick up another external drive that I got, that I found for just an absolutely great deal, for really like 2 terabytes for like $30.
That's fantastic.
So that's, you know, it's not cheap anymore. And it's, you know, a good brand. So we won't have to worry about that anymore. And I can rely less on the iCloud storage.
I gotcha.
To take that up.
Cool.
So
cool.
Anything else, Seth? Oh, yes. I did want to cover one more thing because we complained about this.
All right.
Is with iOS 17, I did go update the beta. It'll be out tomorrow. We noticed before, is recording on Sunday. So come tomorrow, or when you guys see this, on probably Wednesday, iOS 17, iPadOS 17 will be out. The podcast app and the Apple Music app have been updated.
Okay.
So now their icons are a little bit bolder and they are a little bit bigger.
Okay.
There's small changes that they did not talk about, but it's very, very, very much appreciated. And it's not just like when you open up the app alone by itself. If you have, let's say, like a Smart Stack widget on your home screen, I have the podcast app in there and the music app, and they also included like pause, like a small icon for pause and pause and play.
Okay.
So just some small little changes,
small feature enhancements
that are going to make a bit of a difference for the consumer's user friendliness, which again, like I said, we complained about before.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to let you guys know about that, because when I discovered it, I'm not gonna lie, I smiled. So
awesome. Yeah, and I'll talk more about this after I've tried it out, but a feature coming to the music app is when you're listening to music and then it goes from one song to the next, that it just flows right into the next one, or can, and you can pick how much of a transition overlap there is between two songs. So I'm excited. That's something that Spotify users have had, Apple Music users haven't.
Yep.
So they didn't even talk about it anywhere, but everybody's saying, hey, check this out. So I'll let you know what I think of that after I've had a chance to play with it next week.
Again, next week will be out on Monday is when you get it released. So I'll put this episode out probably on Wednesday, or maybe I can get consistent for once and make it everything on Tuesdays. I don't know.
There you go.
YouTube Tuesday. So
we'll try it out, right?
We'll see. We'll keep you guys posted. If you made it to the end, let us know your comments, concerns, positive, negative. We want all the feedback.
Just don't leave forget the comments. To like, subscribe, that notification bell. It really helps us out.
It definitely helps us out. We got to climb these charts, the podcast charts. And if you're new, hit that subscribe button. We'll see you guys next time.